behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to the show. If you are listening to Car Stuff, then you are in the right place, my friends. My name is Ben.
And I'm Scott.
And today, Scott, we are talking about an idea that you brought to the table for us, right?
I did. Yeah, that's right. It comes from an article that we have on our site called How Self-Cleaning Paint Works.
Now, let me ask you, have you ever, in your wilder, younger days, accidentally neglected to wash your car for long enough that someone wrote "wash me" on the glass?
That would have been more likely to happen recently than in the younger days, because I was more of a serial car washer when I was young. I would wash my car quite literally every day.
It's the ultimate shaming of for a stranger to be just so offended with your car that they write a message from your car to you. It's the scarlet letter of the automotive world.
Have you been a victim of this?
I have been on both sides of this in my younger days.
Can I tell you something that I did that cracked my kid up one time?
What?
On the back of my wife's vehicle, because she's more apt to let her vehicle get a little dustier, a little dirtier than mine, right?
Uh-huh.
Just a little bit. So, I'll find somewhere that's a little dusty, and I'll write always on the glass, not on the bodywork, because I know the damage it'll do.
Right.
So I write on the glass something like "wash me" and then a date of 2011. Oh, and it just cracks the kid up because, she's like, she saw it and laughed like, you haven't washed your car in 3 years. And, that's just a funny thing to do.
That's so great.
If you add it like a date, 3 or 4 years back.
Yeah.
It just adds another layer of comedy to the whole thing.
That's pretty smart, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm going to do that now. We know that it can be tough to get your car to a place to wash it, right? Mm-hmm. And there are some things that everyone should do for their car, mm-hmm, that people don't always do, like waxing, et cetera.
Rotate the tires.
Technically, in a lot of owner manuals, you're supposed to walk around and give the vehicle a visual inspection before you hop in,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, who did that this morning? But not me, spoiler. But the this self-cleaning paint thing may just revolutionize your experiences with people writing "wash me" on your glass.
Well, that's what Nissan says, right?
Yeah, and let's not forget that Nissan is saying it because they're selling it.
And I hate to be picky, Ben, but it wouldn't really help you with the glass, I guess.
That's true.
Unless you had the product that you don't like, should we use the brand name?
Yeah, go ahead.
Unless you have Rain-X or something like that on the windshield, which acts in a similar way as to the paint treatment that we're going to talk about. So Nissan thinks that they're going to be able to revolutionize, the paint industry by creating this, what they call a super hydrophobic and oleophobic industrial treatment that goes on top of your vehicle, called, and the brand name for this is Ultra Everdry. And
yep,
it's co-developed by a couple of places. Now, the people that actually developed the Ultra Everdry product, their name is Ultra Tech International, and they were founded in 1993, somewhere in Florida. I think it's Jacksonville, Florida, where they're headquartered. There's also a company called Nanolabs in the UK, which has been around since about 2012. And Nanolabs has been working with Nissan to use UltraTech International's product on the Nissan vehicles. So it's this kind of co-development between three different companies.
Yeah, and it's a really weird thing. We should say at the top that this is something you'll need to check out online just to watch the demonstrations.
It is so bizarre when you see it. I mean, you and I both said that when we watched videos of this this in action, when they do like the test thing, almost like the hucksters would set up at the carnival, and they would have a car hood and they would polish it, and then,
sure,
light it on fire and say, look how strong this this wax treatment is to this vehicle.
Come around, gentlemen, come around.
Now here's some hydrochloric acid. Let's dump that on there, mm-hmm, right? Well, what they're doing is they've got one half of the hood that's treated, one half that's not treated.
Mm-hmm. And it's a white car.
A white car, white hood, from a Nissan Leaf or something like that.
Yeah.
And they would show you that, you dump water on this side, and sure, it beads up and runs off, but not totally. I mean, it kind of, everybody's seen a freshly waxed car. I mean, it does bead up, it does run off, but there's still some remnants of water left behind. On the side that is coated with this Ultra Everdry stuff, it absolutely disappears. I mean, it rolls right off as if you dump marbles on top of the vehicle.
That's a great comparison, as though it's being chased away. Mm-hmm. This is what is called super hydrophobic technology. And as we get into this, we might not dive all the way into the chemistry, but we will talk about how this stuff works. Now, Nissan loves this for the Leaf, of course, right? It makes great marketing material. But we went to Ultra EverDry themselves to get a common sense explanation. You know what I mean?
Sure.
By which I mean not too many chemical names, right? So this actually has a couple of coats. It has a bottom coat that bonds to materials and it's acts sort of like a primer. And then this top coat, bonds to
the bottom coat.
Yeah, bonds to the bottom coat, and it creates this, what they call a finely textured geometry. The surface has patterns, geometric shapes, and billions of interstitial little spaces. There are high points in the surface that create what they call a low surface energy. And what this means is that when a drop of water hits the coating, it's actually touching just a very small part of it.
Yeah. We should say right up front here, too, this is what they call a nano coating.
Yeah.
It's the result of nanotechnology, and nanotechnology is an entire industry that kind of revolves around the study or engineering of nanoparticles, because these particles are actually created in a lab, right? So they're on a extremely, extremely small scale. In fact, you obviously even I think I heard one time even observing nanoparticles somehow makes them react in different ways
because they're that small.
They really are. I mean, and I know that sounds funny to say that, but I think that it's true. I mean, I think that's the way they work. It's really bizarre technology. I mean, I don't know if I want to say bizarre or not, but it's foreign to us. I mean, it's something that you really have to. You have to wrap your head around it before you can really investigate something that's using nanotechnology like this, because, you know, once you understand how these particles work together and how that they can create this, this microscopic cushion of air.
Yeah.
That actually prevents the stuff from even touching the surface of the vehicle. I mean, that's difficult to wrap your head around to begin with, right? And that's exactly what's happening.
And it's also oleophobic, which I think you mentioned earlier. So that means that in addition to repelling water, it will repel oil-based liquids. Not all of them, but most of them.
But let's not get beyond this, Ben. I just said a near invisible barrier of air that goes over the surface of the vehicle. Now, how in the hell are they doing that?
I mean, it's a force field.
It really is. And it's like, that's a good way to think about it. It's a force field around your car. And it's really strange because it repels not just water that we've talked about. It'll repel refined oil, wet concrete, mud, other liquids. I mean, I've seen they put like chocolate sauce on it. You know,
right,
things that are
yeah.
that have different viscosities. So that, you know, let's say that you're worried about, you know, the birds crapping on your car after you get a car wash. It's not going to be a problem. And if it does, for some reason, stay on the surface, the second that wind blows over that surface, it's gone. I mean, it just blows away. And that's what happens with all the dust and, you know, any other things that may settle on the vehicle. You know, a blast of air or water or whatever, and it's completely gone. The surface is completely clean. But one thing that we need to also mention here is that it's not a glossy surface like you might think.
Oh, no, it's like a translucent white thing.
Yeah, it becomes like a matte finish. Now, that's not going to be a problem for a lot of people because, you know, they really don't care if their car is matte. Some people want that look. We've seen some supercars that do that. We've seen hot rods that do that. You know, other people that just want kind of a low gloss finish, and
it's
fine.
Tough to beat a matte black car, though.
It is, yeah. They're pretty cool. So, you know, the thing is, right now they've only used it on white vehicles because it does put that translucent finish on it, and they're working on developing other colors. And I guess one more thing. It seems like there's one more thing we have to keep telling them, but right now this is still in the testing stages with Nissan. They're still working with the labs. There's nothing definitive yet to say that this is going to be on next year's Nissan Leaf or next year's Versa Note or whatever vehicle they're testing it on.
Yeah, they don't have any plans right now to make it a standard thing. It may be an option.
They are testing it this year. So, you know, the summer of 2014, they're testing it. We'll find out next year maybe what the results were.
There are some pros and cons to it, too. Of course, nothing's perfect. The stuff is pretty resilient, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still vulnerable to UV, like other other coatings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're working on trying to reduce the effect of UV light. There are a couple of chemicals that are incompatible with Ultra Everdry. Soap and detergent. That was interesting to me because that means that you can't really wash your car.
Well, but you won't need to.
That's the idea. Well, you still got to wash the windows, as we said.
No, that's true. You got to wash the windows, but not with soap and water.
You don't want to have matte brown windows.
Yeah, I guess so. Soap, like anything, I guess like Dawn dish soap or something would be harmful to it.
Yeah, they say that once you apply soap or detergent to the surface of the coating, it does what they call wetting out. But once you remove it with low pressure water, the super hydrophobicity will generally return.
That's a tough word.
Yeah, I didn't know how long it was going to be when I started reading that note. Alcohols and other solvents will dissolve or remove it. So I guess don't throw your drink on your car.
I guess so.
And they say that acids and bases are not usually a problem. They've tested hydrochloric, phosphoric, and sulfuric acid. They have a pretty good tolerance for the temperature and.
Yeah, real good tolerance.
Yeah.
I was looking at the range. The hot cold range is between negative 30 degrees Fahrenheit and 300 degrees Fahrenheit. So I don't think you would deal with the 300 degrees, but who knows? You park in the sunshine. I wonder what the surface of a vehicle, how hot that gets.
That's a good question.
I don't think it's 300 degrees.
Surely not.
No, I wouldn't think so, but it gets up there. But 30 degrees below Fahrenheit, that you may be in some region of the world where that could actually happen. I could see that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So it's not for everybody, but the thing that you mentioned about the sunshine, single coating, the bottom coat and top coat, they consider that a single coating.
Yeah.
It should last anywhere between 2 and 8 months in direct sunlight. And if you do go beyond that and it is in direct sunlight and it does start to wear out, you can actually just add the top coat again. You don't have to strip it all away, add the bottom coat and the top coat again. You just add a new top coat and you're on your way again.
Oh, and that works because we should probably talk about how you apply this stuff.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea because it's not a single thing. It's a two-coat process, like we mentioned, a bottom
right.
coat and a top coat.
And ideally a two-day process.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, because they say, okay, so, we said the bottom coat, when you apply it, the Ultra Everdry folks themselves have a couple of recommended things, like they have different airbrushes and spray guns or power sprayers that they'll recommend.
Mm-hmm.
But however you choose to apply this coat, when you do, you first apply the bottom coat. You need to give it about at least an hour to dry before applying top coat. They say 30 to 60 minutes, but every time I see something say 30 to 60 minutes, I go 60 minutes.
Yeah, or double it.
Yeah, no kidding. You can also decrease that with a heat gun or blow dryer.
Mm-hmm.
Normal, that checks out. After that, the top coat, when you apply it, you have to allow 2 hours for it to dry.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to work fast because this becomes super hydrophobic in 15 to 30 minutes.
All right, so you mentioned some of the pros, some of the cons, the way that it's applied, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a couple other things that we should probably tell you before we get into some of the fun stuff that we've seen, right?
Okay, yeah.
And there's a few other things that we want to throw in here,
sure,
too.
Sure.
But I do have to tell you this. I think that we should say that right now, if you're trying to, think of ways that you can use this Ultra Everdry in your own personal life, this would be great for, my tent that I use for camping.
Right,
time, right.
Yeah.
And it would be. It'd be a great product for that.
Sure.
You can't do that right now. It is approved right now for industrial use only at this time. It's not available to the public. But,
yeah.
And it's very expensive. I mean, I was looking at pricings of this thing, so if you were, an industrial supplier and you were able to purchase things like this, kind of in a back channel way, I guess.
Sure.
And you wanted to get some of this for whatever reason, either for your business or maybe for personal use,
yeah.
If you wanted to.
Maybe you want to, maybe you've got a wise guy at your office,
yeah.
And you want to coat the bottom of his shoes.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, Ben. I'm not promoting somebody doing something illegal or anything like that. But if you were to buy Ultra Everdry coating, here are the prices. It's about $53 for a quart for the bottom coating. and then $96 for the top coating. Now, the top coating is one you'll have to reapply at times, right?
Right. The bottom coat will probably last longer.
$96 for a quart. So it's about, wow. So it's about $150 for a quart's worth of water coat, you know, waterproofing, because you'd have to do the bottom and the top coat, right? So about $150. And when you consider that there are four quarts per gallon, that means that per gallon, this coating system is about $600.
So if you decided to buy enough coating to coat your car effectively, right?
Sure.
Assuming you reapply it every 6 to 8 months, then at what point do you start seeing some savings on car washes?
Oh, you'd have to be going to expensive car washes to see savings on this, right? But the thing is, if it came as standard equipment on your car when you bought it, and the dealer was in charge of, you know, bring it back every 8 months and we'll throw a new top coat on it.
That'd be great.
That'd be a fantastic deal, wouldn't
it? That's a selling
point. Now, when the warranty wears out, then you would be, you know, on the hook for some money.
Right.
But if you look online, you can also buy 50 gallons of this stuff at a time. Now, you remember I just said a gallon is about $600. You can buy 50 gallons for just under $6,000.
Oh.
And that covers something like 12,500 square feet. But I think this is like if you're coating the side of a building, or if you're coating, you know, cinder blocks in a construction zone or something like
that. Sure. Maybe a ship. I don't
know. Exactly right. And that's just for the bottom coat, $6,000.
Oh.
The top coat only comes in 5 gallon containers, as far as I saw. And those are about $1,300 for 5 gallons. So
wow.
It gets very, very expensive, but there's good news, Ben.
What's that?
You can buy a consumer product, right at your local hardware store if you want. There's a product that Rust-Oleum makes called Neverwet. And Neverwet is essentially the same thing as Ultra Everdry, only it's the consumer version, not the industrial version. So it's maybe not quite as strong. Yeah, that's
okay.
Right. And it's good for metal, wood, aluminum, concrete, fiberglass, canvas, things like that. You know, you can put it on, I think you can put it on like work boots, but you can't put it on clothing. It's not for food, of course, you know, as they say with Ultra Everdry as well. It's a flat finish, just like the other stuff is. You can use it for indoor, outdoor use. I'm not selling it by any means, but, you know, let's say you get two cans in spray cans.
Yeah,
you know,
Neverwet.
Of Neverwet. It's like $17 for two 18-ounce cans. And I don't know how much that covers by any means, but, mm-hmm. Not a bad deal compared to the industrial stuff, right?
Yeah. Maybe we should try it out on Noel's car. Ladies and gentlemen, just a nice shout out to our super producer, Noel.
Noel, you'll let us use that on your car, wouldn't you? Of course he would.
Yeah. See, he is a team player, Scott.
He is.
So can we talk a little bit about some of the tests that people have done?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? Because when you watch the Ultra Everdry videos that they put out, the factory puts them out, or the tech company puts them out, right? They're pretty unusual with what they do, right? I mean, it's surprising. It's really eye-opening how strong this stuff is.
Right, yeah. Oh, and sorry to jump back a little bit. We should do a caveat about the safety of this.
Sure.
Because one of the things you have to keep in mind about this chemical combination is that the coatings themselves are based on xylene and acetone for the bottom coat, xylene, acetone for the top. This means they emit a lot of fumes. So even outdoors, they recommend wearing nitrile gloves, respirator filled with organic vapor filters, and not to touch it.
Now, this is when you're spraying it on, right? I mean,
right.
This is when it's wet and when it's actually
sure.
floating around in the air all around you. But once it's on that surface, there's really no danger.
Yeah, you just wouldn't want to. Right, exactly. Because if after you coat your vehicle, you could park inside a deck and stuff, you'd be fine.
Yeah, but you don't want to rest your sandwich on that car then.
No. And
not that you could, because it would slide right off.
Right. Yeah, it's also sandwich phobic.
Yeah.
And you don't want to you don't want to mess around with this stuff indoors at all.
Exactly right. Yeah, you want to make sure it's well ventilated and all that stuff, because it is some pretty bad chemicals, but the stuff that this thing can do is so incredible. When you watch these demos,
yeah,
it's like they're playing a trick on you or something. It's like they're fooling you, but it's real. It really is like this.
So there's this guy I got to tell you about, Scott. He said that he had to try out this product, right? So he gets a box full of Ultra Everdry cans, and he says, I'm going to apply these to various things. Mm-hmm. And you saw, I think, a couple of these things he did.
A few.
Yeah, he kicked off one of the testings with a 10 by 12 sheet of plate glass. Mm-hmm. And, they did the first coat, you know, let it dry. They do the second coat and, the glass gets mottled and kind of cloudy, but that's because they use trigger hand sprayers, right?
Yeah.
And they couldn't get a uniform coat. But they noticed it did what it says on the tin. You just have to be very, very careful. If you, you know, if you apply it to something's glass, I think it would be a really bad idea to apply it to, a windshield. Scott.
Well, you can't apply it to a windshield. You'd right. never be able to see through. It'd be like, looking through deep fog all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah. Yeah. Or clouded glass. But, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but maybe Rain-X has its purpose.
Rain-X does have its purpose, you know, and it falls in between, like a waxed car and a, and an Ultra Everdry in, as far as like contact angles go with hydrophobicity. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hydrophobicity?
Yeah.
Because they have this scale here on their website that shows you like, you know, what each of these would mean.
Oh, this is so cool.
And,
yeah.
And this gives you an idea. Like everybody can picture a waxed vehicle, right? And we'll get yeah. back to the,
no, totally. This is important.
So imagine the surface, laid out in front of you. Like, you're looking across that section,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
Of the waxed car surface. And a drop of water is on there. I know that they kind of move around, they drop off, but let's say it's perfectly flat and the water sits on there. It's almost like a ball that you've cut in half and then laid the ball on top. So it looks like a dome.
Yeah.
On there,
yeah.
Right? Okay. You got it, right? That's like a 90 degree angle of contact angle. As far as the hydrophobicity, it's such a weird word, right?
Yeah.
But anything that is greater than 90 degrees is considered hydrophobic. So, a freshly waxed car, this droplet of water falls right at 90 degrees. That tells you how slick this is to begin with, right?
Sure.
So that's 90 degrees. The windshield coatings that, you know, act like kind of like magic, you know, when the water just whisks off and away of the windshield,
mm-hmm.
with just a little bit of airflow, those have a 110 degree angle of hydrophobicity, which is, you know, getting up there. It's stronger. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at Ultra Everdry,
yeah.
This has like a 160 to 175 degree angle. So in other words, it's like a ball sitting on top of the surface and there's just no way for it to remain on that surface. It's going to go somewhere. It's going to slide right off.
That's cool. I like it.
And I'm sorry that I did that, but when you were talking about Rain-X, I mean, I had to mention that Rain-X is right in between there. It's at that 110, but this goes all the way up to 160 to 175 for its angle. So it's extremely, extremely repellent.
If only it was also transparent.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it? You just coat the whole vehicle with it and be done, inside and out.
So for people who haven't heard a lot of our older episodes, we haven't talked about this in a while. You and I have differing opinions on Rain-X.
We do.
So that's...
greatly different opinions.
Right, yeah. Well, we don't have to get wrapped up in that
then
today.
There are so many other things, right? They test paper. They test what?
Put it on a toilet. They got a toilet at a hardware store. There's still this one guy.
Yeah.
And, they said, we're going to put this on a toilet. And he said, you know, I'm not going to do my actual toilet in my house. So we're going to go buy one. And, they said that it works really well. We're a family show.
Sure.
So, they did water on concrete. That's normal. But then they start getting into the weird stuff. They did it on a keyboard. They applied it on a keyboard. Hmm. So they applied this on the keyboard and they did it the right way. They took it apart a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it'd be a uniform coat. And then they sprayed it with water and it pops off the keys. It collected in the keyboard body because it went into the nooks and crannies. They did it on an ice tray. And they said that it didn't really matter because what they found was the ice in the untreated tray actually slipped out a little bit easier than the treated one. Mm. But it's got to be hard if you think about it. This is such a super hydrophobic thing to be pouring water into that because it's just the force of gravity holding it, right? So then he tested a sponge and the sponge was interesting because they said the sponge could work, but when you put the treated sponge into a bucket of water, then it starts acting like a sponge again.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think the opposite would be true because I saw it used on cotton balls of all things. And, you know, those are very porous, right?
Yeah.
And you can completely submerge a cotton ball and bring it out and it's completely dry. There's not a single drop of water on the cotton ball. and it makes it float.
I wonder if that's something to do with the way that the coating permeates cotton. You know what
I
mean?
I have no idea, but I mean, they tested like, and this is one that you're not supposed to do. They sprayed it on bread. And then they put, I think it was like mustard on the bread, and the mustard just rolled right off the bread. It was like it flew right off. They've done it on paper, like even tissue paper can be treated with this stuff. So they put on a piece of notebook paper and they pour water on it and it just rolls right off like it was never there. So imagine if you're on a work site.
Yeah.
And you've got a set of plans, like you've got, you know, blueprints, whatever, and you can coat those plans with this treatment and then, you know, without worry, take them to the site because, you know, mud or grime or concrete, you know, wet concrete.
Yeah.
You know, rainwater, any of that stuff is not going to affect those plans one bit. It's going to just run right off. And that would be something that I think a, you know, contractor would really appreciate.
That's a great point.
And they've even said that, you know, the chutes on concrete trucks are a perfect place for these things because the concrete wet concrete will not stick to it. How many times have you seen, you know, the guys that deliver concrete somewhere?
Yeah.
They've pulled off, you know, a block away from there and they've got the hose out and they're squirting, you know, they're squirting it, trying to get the remnants of the concrete off of the chute and
you
know, clean things up before they head back. It's part of the job, right? This would no longer be necessary if they treated all those concrete chutes with that. And, you know, every bit of concrete would make it to the job site.
That's a really good point.
Behind. What else? They did it on like wood fences
uh-huh.
you know, because it can be used as a wood preservative. You know, walls, I guess they say there'd be no more graffiti on the walls because it wouldn't stick.
Well, that depends because it's not all oil-based, mediums.
Most
probably. Yeah. They have something in their FAQ about how they cannot tell you that this is for keeping graffiti off a wall.
I see.
It's worded carefully.
Yeah, I understand.
But there are some other crazy tests too. Remember the ketchup thing?
I do remember the ketchup thing. Yeah, this is so weird. They treated like a piece of tissue paper maybe or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they squirted ketchup onto it in kind of just a random pattern, you know, like an S pattern or whatever.
Sure.
And then the guy picks it up and starts like tipping it one way and then the other way and rolling it back and forth and it's weird. It looks like a snake the way it moved,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
This weird ketchup thing. And then this is so gross looking, Ben. It forms into like one almost like a hot dog looking shape and he's just kind of rolling it back and forth on the paper.
Ketchup worm.
It's so weird. It's like it's not natural, Ben. It doesn't look right. And there's a lot of things like that. I mean, how about where they would treat the edge of glass or they'd treat the edge of glass but not the middle part of the glass. And then they would pour water onto that, you know, like colored water onto it. And the water would gather in the middle, but it wouldn't be able to get off of the glass because it can't run to the sides. And it looks like there's a green piece of tile in the middle of the glass, and they can touch it, and it moves and everything. And they can squirt more water, and it will either roll off or it'll roll into it and join with the water. It's so bizarre. It's such a cool thing to watch. It's almost like watching, you know, like liquid metal or, you know, when people play with mercury, which you're not supposed to do.
But, right.
But when they play with it, it's fascinating. It's something you just can't tear your eyes away from.
Yeah. There's another thing that I saw. This is maybe one of the weirdest. The same guy who was testing this stuff did another thing you're not supposed to do and coated his clothing with the substance. And
not recommended for coating.
For clothing. Yeah. So he said that, you know, he had mixed results. He put on a t-shirt and a hat and then he sprayed ketchup on it and stuff. But he said that it was probably more, the mixed results came from uneven application. But his primary objection, Scott, was not the efficacy of this stuff. It was the, feel of wearing something treated like this. He said, yeah, I'm just going to read this part. He said, "It felt chalky against my skin. I wouldn't want to wear a shirt or pants treated with the stuff, at least not without an untreated layer under me." And it said the fabric felt really stiff. This is okay for shoes and boots, but not for what you'd wear on your body.
I know. I've seen it used on work gloves, like
leather
work gloves, and it's pretty remarkable what it will do there. I mean, you can stick your hand into mud or grime and, you know, like really like work it in your fingers and everything, and then just shake the glove once and it's all gone on the glove that's treated. The other one, of course, is soaked and saturated. It's ruined. So they're saying on like, you know, personal protective equipment that people wear, that it may be a good idea to use something like this that would shed contaminants because it just never even really comes in contact with the material that you're wearing. So I know what you're saying, like it would feel weird against the skin, but if it's an outer layer,
sure,
a protective layer,
yeah,
maybe that's completely different. Because the work glove thing is perfect. The work boot thing.
That's smart.
Really smart, I think. But imagine if you had like coveralls or something. Like remember when we were wearing coveralls to disassemble that MG?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If those had that kind of coating on them, and we had our, you know, full clothing on underneath them, at least I did. I don't know about you, Ben.
Yeah, yeah, of course I was wearing clothes.
Sure you did.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so if, yeah, they got pretty grimy, but if, you know, if we had been, you know, coated with that stuff or the material had been coated with that, those would have come home completely clean instead of having to be, practically thrown away.
I have one last thing. I'm almost out of stuff with this.
Yeah, me too.
I have one last thing.
All right.
This guy also, same guy, Scott, coated a slip and slide with Ultra Ever Dry. Mm. This is interesting. What do you think happened if you had to guess?
Well, okay, that relies on water, right? I mean, it has to have water on the surface for your skin to slip on the surface. So I'm guessing that it made it sticky.
You nailed it, man.
Really?
Hole in one. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
You were really good at this.
Yes.
Because he said slip and slides, plastic surface already repels water pretty well. And that because of the texture that Ultra Ever Dry creates, it undermines the inherent smoothness of the plastic. So although it is more hydrophobic and the water will move over it, it also makes it rougher. I'm going to read this quote. The result is more of a slip and grind to a halt. Also, I hurt my back because I'm old. I hope you all are happy. That is how, like, the review ends.
I wonder if your skin was covered with, like, oil or something like that, would that work, I wonder?
That's interesting.
I don't know, because it seems like it relies on something, something between the skin and the surface, right?
Yeah.
And there's nothing there because the water can't remain.
Right.
So I wonder if, like, you were to use something that would stick to your skin and stay there.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if that would work.
Maybe something that maybe wouldn't react.
So, like, if you oiled yourself up and you jumped on this this ever dry coated
slip and slide,
would that be like the ultimate combination? Would that be super fast? Would you be like, Clark Griswold on his sled in Christmas Vacation? You remember he greased up the bottom of the sled? It was like a rocket shot, you know?
Can you? Could you go out to the salt flats and set a land speed record?
Maybe. I mean, that's an interesting idea. I wonder what happened then. We should write in.
Yeah. You know what? So go ahead and take that as an open invitation and let us know how your experiments go.
We're not condoning that.
We're not condoning it. We're just, if you were already about to do that, tell us how it works out.
I understand if you'd like to do this, but I don't condone it. Let's just leave it at that.
Oh, brother. All right. Well, we better get out of here. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And, I would like to hear what you guys think about waxing the car or, you know, car washes. Are they ever going to go out of style? I don't think so.
And I would like to hear if Nissan has found anything useful out of this. I mean, are they really going to do this in 2015 or beyond?
Or is it a novelty?
I don't know. I mean, it sure made the news cycle recently. So,
sure.
So I hope it comes back. I hope there's something to this.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty good too, man. Let us know what you think, listeners. Is this a fad? Is this something that could actually be, you know, a luxury feature that filters down into standard for all the other cars?
Or has anybody used that Rust-Oleum product, the Neverwet, to actually do this on their own vehicle?
Again,
I'm not suggesting that.
Oh, that's very brave, man.
I understand if you want to do it, but I don't condone it again.
Scott, you're not mad. You're just disappointed.
So, let us know how it went if you did that.
Yeah, please do. And if you would like to hear some of the other episodes that we have alluded to, then you can check out our website, carstuffshow.com, where we have every episode we have ever done, as far as we know, except for that one episode that we said would never see the light of day.
Yeah, and we both know what that is. Should we even say it?
You know what? Let's save something for the next show.
Let's do it.
All right. So write in and, answer those questions for us. As always, if you want to just suggest a topic we should cover in the future, if you have a pretty good joke, doesn't have to be great. We'll settle for pretty good. No, you know what? No. If you have a great joke, then email us.
Wow, you got high standards.
I suddenly got high standards. They're probably temporary. And who knows what my idea of a great joke is. It's probably bad based on the puns I make. But anyway, yeah, you can send all of that to us. We will see you next time. In the meantime, where are they going to send it, Scott?
They can send it to carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.